You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a Monday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Monday. Brand new week here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining us from the back porch today. And, of course, we got Andrew on the other side of the glass here today and making sure everything goes A-OK with us. And, of course, the most important component, you, our listener out there, and thank you for tuning us in today. Love to hear from you on the text line or the phone line, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600 on a Monday, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Going to look at the weekend in sports, specifically the United States Open, a first-time major winner in Wyndham Clark, the 29-year-old from Denver, Colorado, as he holds off Rory McIlroy down the stretch. In a very interesting U.S. Open with a lot of tentacles coming out of the L.A. Country Club to discuss, and we will do that. Take a look at baseball, College World Series, a lot of things on the plate here today. Again, the text line available to you at 319-366-1600 here on this Monday. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day at 3 o'clock. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. They're celebrating their 75th year of business, and great to have them on, as always, with us. And hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend out there. Mark joining me from the back porch in the southwest side on a warm Monday. Good afternoon. And I don't hear Mark. Try that again. No? Maybe? Yes? No. All right. Well, I have theories on why that is happening. But, yeah, we'll try it another way here. We may have to get Mark on the phone. Mark may have to call us here. Give Andrew a call, Mark. I think you know the number. 319-366-1600. I had a great intro and everything. And don't believe he's there. So, Mark? Nope, he's not. All right, he's going to have to give us a call. At any rate, we will get to the weekend in sports. As I mentioned, the U.S. Open specifically. As what a Sunday it was. What a weekend it was. It was one of those that had a lot of good things happening, some bad things happening, I guess. And exactly how it came out, I don't think anybody had a clue out there exactly the way it was going to play out. And I think we have Mr. Mark ready to go here. Let's bring him up here. Mark, good afternoon. I gave you such a glowing and wonderful intro, and then there was silence. I don't know, man. I can't replicate that, so I'm just going to say hi.
Hi, Scott. Man, good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And, yeah, I hope all the dads had a wonderful Father's Day and plunging forward, headed to the 4th of July.
Yeah, we are, and it won't be too – well, you know what we're heading to? And that is not only the NBA draft coming up this week, but already it's, I think, you know, the mothership skipped right across baseball and went right into getting ready for the NBA season 23 and 24. I think that's pretty much what's happening.
I don't think it ever ends with that network, so it is what it is.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM as we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Let's talk about yesterday's happenings in Los Angeles. The win by Wyndham Clark, his first major, 29-year-old, and great had a very, very good college career that was interrupted by the death of his mother, and she died from cancer. And at one point, Wyndham Clark wasn't sure if he was going to continue to play the game of golf. He started off at Oklahoma State, did very, very well as a member of the Cowboys, then went to play for Casey Martin and the University of Oregon Ducks, where he did very, very well. In fact, his caddy is the former assistant coach up at the University of Oregon, John Ellis. And what a story. This guy's had the talent. He won earlier this year at Wells Fargo at Quail Hollow down in Charlotte, North Carolina, against a distinguished field down there. Came back, had a great attitude going into the week. At his news conference, he said, you know what, I've already won basically against a field that was chock full of major winners. So this is really not going to deter me from playing my best in winning a U.S. Open. And that's exactly what he did. Hung on yesterday at the end. He was definitely leaking some oil down the stretch yesterday at LACC.
Yeah, he can say that, but it was the U.S. Open. So much pressure, and I thought he was, by and large, very resilient, as he had chasers like McIlroy and Scheffler, and Fowler fell out of favor, but I thought he acquitted himself extremely well. And I know we've got some audio, if you choose to play it, on the reality of winning the U.S. Open. And so many of these guys say, you know, it hasn't set in. And I think that'd be true for me, too.
Yeah, and it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy winning any tournament on the PGA Tour down the stretch, let alone a major, let alone the U.S. Open. And just hitting some of the shots he did. He had a tremendous shot with a 3-wood on 14. And he mentioned that during his news conference after the win, saying that that was the shot that won. It made two great saves. He made a great save for a bogey on 8 where he didn't hit a real bad shot. He missed his target by about 3 yards. If it's to the right 3 yards, he's putting for eagle. Ended up with a really good bogey. Made a really good par on number 9. Almost had it solidified on 16, but just missed a par putt, about an 8-footer or so. That was going downhill. Rory McIlroy needed a birdie on those 3 tough holes, just could not get a birdie at the end. And you really can't blame Rory, because the 16 and 17, along with 18, were just brutal holes all week.
They were, and I thought Wyndham Clark also. I don't know what he ranked in putting, but he made so many clutch putts, including on the 18th. He's facing a 60-footer to get down in 2, and he knocks it within Gordon Sargent range.
Who did miss one of those, by the way.
And I think it's totally wrong, but
he hit it too hard. It bounced right out of the hole. He was perplexed about it. He's still got low amateur, and that kid is going to be something else in a couple weeks. Whenever he decides to turn pro, Gordon Sargent is going to be maybe the next big name coming down the stretch here. We already have Sam Bennett in there, last year's U.S. amateur champion who's turned pro, and he acquitted himself very, very well, was in contention toward the end of things. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. If you'd like to comment on the weekend happenings at the U.S. Open. Thanks to Spencer here for a couple things. Number one, he's trying to fix our audio here behind the scenes. And number two, for getting some audio from our U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark, as well as some comments from ESPN golf analyst Andy North. First of all, let's hear from the champion, Wyndham Clark, and his thoughts about winning the United States Open at L.A. yesterday.
I mean, it surpasses all of them, because when I was dreaming of it, usually it was just me on a putting green by myself. You know, I made the putt, maybe, but there's no one around. So having my friends and family, and then obviously in front of thousands of people, and then the cameras and everything there, it was as good as I could have ever imagined.
Wyndham Clark right there about his win at the United States Open. And this kid is not a flash in the pan, I don't believe, Mark. I think he's going to be around for a while. He's one of the longer hitters on the PGA Tour. Has been much better as far as his short game. You talked about clutch putts, and that's all that championship golf is. And he was 18 of 21 from inside, from 5 to 10 feet. He was 18 of 21. And that was by far the number one percentage putting for those 5 feet for the 4 days.
Yeah, and he just won 2 weeks ago. So this guy is a riser. He's now 10th in Ryder Cup points. Zach Johnson, the U.S. captain, definitely has to take a look at him, as he would any major champion. But I don't think he's going to be a flash in the pan by any means.
I would agree on it. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600. What did you think about the course, how it all played out? A lot of non-golf talk about golf, Mark. And we will get to that coming up in just a little bit. But let's hear from ESPN's Andy North about the win by Wyndham Clark.
They haven't put a drop of water in the fairways for a month.
Okay.
So late Tuesday afternoon, when the marine layer went away and the sun came out, it got a little bit toasty late Tuesday afternoon. They expected the marine layer each of the last 2 days to burn off much earlier than it did. It really never burned off during the first round on Thursday. So I think it's going to be really important to see what the weather does. If we see sunny and warm, it could dry it out enough that now the greens get firmer, and it's going to be a whole different story.
Now, that was Andy talking about the condition of the golf course. We had the two 62s on Thursday. Everybody thought that double figures were going to be in vogue, and it turns out that the course kind of got some revenge toward the end of the week. And probably best that the marine layer did burn off yesterday, or I think the scores could have been a little bit tough. That back nine was about as tough as any back nine we have seen in a U.S. Open venue in a long time.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, after that first day when they set a U.S. Open scoring record with a couple 62s and the whole field going low, I thought the course did get some revenge, the winning score 10 under. The course fought back and made it difficult for players. And we saw 63 yesterday from Tommy Fleetwood, the only human being to shoot 63 in two U.S. Opens. But by and large, I thought, you know, the course, aside from those low rounds, held up pretty well in the end.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And I think you get Thursday over without the marine layer, and I think 6 under or so would probably be victorious. Couple of other things here. 96-63 in the text line says, I don't remember what hole it was when the chip out of the bunker tall grass, the ball was way from the hole and then rolled it down 6 feet to save par. That was on the par 5 eighth. He didn't miss the ball, but he barely got the ball. He went right underneath it in the Barranca mark. Then had to take a mighty swing, chipped it over the green, and got up and down for what was a tremendous bogey at that particular time. As people say, Mark, some bogeys are better than others.
Yeah, and I want to ask you a question because I missed it. I think it was 16 or 17. Rory McIlroy hit it in the side of the bunker and had a tough time finding it, did find it. But then he got relief. Was there a obstruction of some kind? I missed that.
Yeah, it was an embedded ball. And that has now happened 3 times in the last 2 majors where the ball goes into the sod between on top of the bunker, literally, where the bunker is built into Mother Earth. And if the ball is embedded in there, if it's not sticking out any, if it is completely into the earth, then you can, first of all, you have to make sure it's your ball. You have to identify your ball. If the rules member deems it that it is embedded, you get a free drop, no closer to the hole. That saved Rory's tournament right there, because if he had to, you know, hit it backwards and into a bunker, he's looking at six, maybe seven, and then it's a lot easier down the stretch for Wyndham Clark. But Rory took advantage of the rules. It happened twice during the PGA Championship with an embedded ball. You see that once, you know, a blue moon, and now we've seen it three times in the last two majors.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that clarification.
I've never done it yet, but I'm waiting for the first time I do. On a golf course. 319-366-1600. A lot of people talking about, was it a great venue? Was it a great U.S. Open? Mixed reviews on it right now. A lot of the players not with some glowing reviews of L.A. Country Club. Defending champion Matt Fitzpatrick did not have a lot of good things to say. Brooks Koepka did not have a lot of good things to say about it. It's one of those old-time golf courses. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't your run-of-the-mill U.S. Open golf course. It had some character to it. The fairways, when they hold another one, there's talk that they will in the late 2030s. I think they need to do a few things. There are about two fairways, Mark, where everything goes funnels to a 20-foot area that was just it was divot heaven down there, and you were just praying you didn't hit a divot. And if you did, I mean, you could sky it over the – I mean, they need to do a few things, I think, and they'll take some notes for the next time they hold a major championship there.
Well, isn't it typical that guys like Fitzpatrick and Koepka, who don't finish near the top of the leaderboard, have complaints? One complaint I would have is the fairway at 18 was much too wide for a U.S. Open. That was an easy fairway to hit. Maybe not for me, but for these pros, for sure.
Yeah, and tell you what, Wyndham Clark, he used all 57 yards of that thing because he had a big cut off the tee. I thought it was in the rough, and then it could have been a whole different ball game, but it just caught that. And yeah, that was one of the criticisms. They thought the USGA, if they bring it back, should narrow down the fairways maybe 10 yards or so. A lot of people on Golf Channel did not want to see the 18th hole of a major tournament have a 58-yard wide fairway outside of St. Andrews. Now, St. Andrews for the Open Championship, obviously you have that and more. But you're not going to change something that was around, you know, what, 700 years ago, right?
Right, and a lot of talk going in about the par threes, five of them, most of them over 200 yards. And speaking of a game with which I'm not familiar, you're talking about guys hitting four irons, granted downhill, maybe downwind, into a 250 to 280-yard hole. That's remarkable. And then the short par three, I don't think was much of a bargain. I mean, you saw some birdies, but it didn't yield a ton, I don't think.
No, and did have three hole-in-ones, but it had some character, especially yesterday. But only one bogey on it, and it was Wyndham Clark, interestingly enough. Had the only bogey on 15, that short par 3 yesterday. A lot of people talking about a couple other things here before we get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update. Number one, and maybe we'll get to this after the scoreboard, and that is, you know, the impact of television on sports. And we all know that television runs sports. It dictates the starting times. It dictates everything there is about, no matter if it's golf, football, basketball, baseball. You are at the mercy of television. We had primetime golf, which is fantastic for 4 days, Mark. However, they went primetime plus on Saturday night. They did not have the final group, what was it, tee off until 5:40 Central Time on Saturday. And the final two groups basically ended almost in the dark. Both Wyndham Clark along with Ricky Fowler said they really could not see on 17 and 18. They adjusted it for the final round. They moved the tee times back 1 hour. That worked out okay. I don't think anybody was upset with how it went last night. I think they should have probably done that on Saturday. You can't play golf in the dark unless you have lights, Mark. And there were no lights at the LA Country Club.
No, I think the tee times were too far into the late evening on Saturday. Don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to watching golf till 10 o'clock at night. But I thought it was a bad setup there. But you're going to get that on the West Coast, I think.
They want to get it in prime time so they can sell those big-time commercials at a big-time rate. Yeah. Also, on the text line, this was another thing that people were talking about. Is it the norm to have everybody charge on the 18th hole and ring the green? That was really weird, I thought, says the text. They told the players they were going to do that. Now, they do that at the Open Championship, famously, Mark. Used to be before, you know, the days 20 years ago, used to be the lead player would, you know, and I mean struggle to make his way through the crowd. It was not easy at the Open Championship. And there he is. He's emerging. And he looked like he went three rounds with, you know, Apollo Creed or Rocky Balboa getting through there. Andrew likes that, by the way. He's smiling. And they let the final group come through, and then they let everybody up. And it was very, very loud. Very, very loud. Kind of distracting. But, hey, Wyndham Clark hit a great lag putt from 60 feet out. But a lot of people kind of second-guessing that. I don't mind them letting him through. I thought they got way too close to the green, though.
Yeah, as you said, you see it at the Open Championship all the time. I don't know why they chose to allow that, but I thought the atmosphere and the crowds in general were very tame. I mean, they only let, I think, 28,000 people in, and half of those were corporate tickets. They sat in, you know, sat inside, basically, and very few public admissions. So I thought it was an odd open from that standpoint. I mean, you didn't have, I don't know what the record is, but 40, 50, 60,000 people on a final round.
Yeah, it just depends.
Part of that is the terrain, the barrancas at LA Country Club, just getting into the facility. But I thought it was a very quiet open.
Yeah, it was. 83-71, the other couple aspects here before we get to the scoreboard update. 83-71, you are not alone. The most annoying thing was the buzzing sound from the airplane all day. Ridiculous. I agree. That, I don't know. Hey, dear NBC, turn your crowd mics down. Sounded like they had, you know, a generator right next to Paul Azinger and Dan Hicks. But there was a buzzing all through the final round, and it was annoying. And it was noticeable at times. They did have airplanes flying over, but you don't usually hear them quite as clearly. And speaking of Paul Azinger, he is the other very, very polarizing figure out of this. Did not get a lot of glowing reviews from his commentary over the weekend, especially yesterday.
Could have turned the crowd volume up when he talked.
I think that would have been good. I think I'd rather hear airplanes than Paul not knowing what stroke it was on eight, and he's never going to be able to do this. And you see a great shot that bumps up to about 8 inches away, and just I don't think Paul had a great weekend. I don't think Paul had a great weekend. I'll just say that. I think when he first came on NBC, he did a really fantastic job, but kind of gone downhill the last couple of years. But at any rate, can you do some buzzing, Andrew? Do some buzzing in the background. Okay, thank you. Is this going to be better for everybody out there? 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And they did get the peacock and the monkey sounds every once in a while. The monkeys went off once, and they even talked about it yesterday from the old Playboy Mansion on number 14. So, hey, you had everything in this U.S. Open, right? All right. To talk about that and more, Mark Dukes with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's there on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock each and every day, and we thank them for all their help that they give us here on the Gym Class and on KGYM. What we got on the scoreboard?
They are back at it in Omaha at the College World Series, College Baseball World Series, that is. In an elimination game, Tennessee and Stanford 4-4 in the seventh inning. The Pittsburgh Pirates have called up number one overall draft pick from 2021, Henry Davis, a catcher, a little bit of outfield. He will be active tonight. NBA mock drafts ahead of Thursday's actual draft. Most have Chris Murray going between 20 and 25 in the first round. And finally, Iowa State recruit Omaha Bilou has been selected to the USA Under-19 World Cup team. That squad will compete in Hungary June 24th through July 2nd.
He's the real deal. He is the real deal. And I think he's going to come in right away and start for T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State. And I think he's got the potential even to be an early draft guy. He's that good. He's that good. Just really, really tremendous talent for Iowa State. Out of Waukee, Omaha, Bilou. We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll get you a weather update and more on the Gym Class. Presented by DePaco Community Credit Union. Stay with us. More after this on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and it is going to be a toasty and quiet week up ahead. Today is going to be sunny and hot with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. Tonight will be mostly clear and temperatures will be dropping down into the low 60s. Tomorrow and the next day and the next will be sunny. Temperatures each day this week will be in the upper 80s to low 90s, and we are going to be dry through the week with a chance for rain not returning until Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Get ready for Fairfax USA Days, June 23rd and 24th. Come for the Friday night street dance with Airwaves Band. And Saturday, free kids activities, live music, freedom parade, hero breakfast, and one of the best fireworks displays at dusk. There'll be lots of fun for your whole family.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Watch your money grow with a special CD deal right now at Fairfax State Savings Bank. With special spring CD rates this month, your money can earn up to 5% annual percentage yield for a term of 7 months. No weeding, no fertilizer, just more green in your future. Fairfax State Savings Bank has other special CD terms available now too. So find your perfect money match at thebankhere.com. $1,000 minimum to open. Limited time offer. Member FDIC.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM for a Monday. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. All this week, including today, want to let you know, since we've been talking about golf here, that we have your chance to win tickets to see the John Deere Classic. That'll be coming up on July 6th through the 9th. That will be at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, the 52nd annual John Deere Classic. And you could see get a pair of tickets to see defending champion JT Poston and the rest of the field go at it in Silvis. So we will have that all during the week, right here for you to win on KGYM. And we'll have that before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600 on the Monday edition of the gym class here on KGYM. And I think we got Mark back in our regular fashion with us here. Go ahead and let us know if you're there.
I am back.
You are back. That sounds much better. Andrew's a happy guy now. You ought to see him. He's just doing cartwheels on the other side of the glass. Getting everything taken care of over there. Yeah, we mentioned television dictating things a little bit, and it dictated things Saturday night. They played golf in the dark, basically, the last two holes. And golf's a hard enough game without playing in the dark, as you and I both know, Mark. And maybe not the first time that television has dictated start times, et cetera, or finishing times. Won't be the last, won't be the first. Hopefully the USGA learned a little bit. We can go till 9 o'clock. You know, Mark, we don't have to go until 10 o'clock every night with golf, right?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And one thing we didn't touch on was Ricky Fowler and what a disappointing final round he had after being so brilliant, especially in the first two rounds, but led the field with 23 birdies. But he also had too many bogeys and, you know, took a well, I think. But it still has to be really disappointed.
Who's more disappointed, Ricky Fowler or Rory McIlroy?
That's a really good question.
I think it's got to be Rory.
Maybe Rory because he came so close.
I think it's Rory because he has not won a major in 8 years. Ever since the news came out about the two tours going together, he's been in the middle of that situation as a sounding board, spokesperson, et cetera, et cetera. He went through that for a year and a half as well, being in the sounding board for the PGA, and came oh so close to getting another major has not won one in 8 years, as we mentioned. And he will try it again. The last time the Open Championship was at Hoylake, Rory hoisted the claret jug. So he's going to be among the favorites there. Scotty Scheffler obviously has got to be a favorite going in. Maybe it's Tommy Fleetwood's time. Who knows? 319-366-1600. Ricky is on the cusp. I think he is going to get a win at some point. It might not be a major shot that he, both Xander Schauffele and Ricky Fowler started off 8 under par 62s, and both were well over par after that. It is tough to maintain. And at one point, Ricky was 15 of 15 from inside 10 feet on putts. And you just, that's hard to do at a U.S. Open and hard to keep that going.
Yeah, just tough to maintain.
Yeah. 5037 to our question says, who is the more disappointed? Rory. Ricky has still got to be thrilled with his performance. It is, I agree. I would agree. I think Rory, and he showed in his interview right after the completion of his round, he just looked like he lost his best friend yesterday. And that's tough to take, but he will be back. He will be back. 342 here in the Gym Class at KGYM. We're going to give you an opportunity to win the John Deere Classic tickets coming up here in just a little bit. Talking a little baseball, I know you mentioned the College World Series, Mark, during your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's going on right now in Omaha, an elimination game between Tennessee and Stanford. And Tennessee has put two on the board, one of those via a wild pitch. And the Vols leading at 6-4 right now in the seventh inning over in Omaha. The loser of this game is out of the College World Series. As they were dealing with the rain that we had go through yesterday on Saturday and Sunday. They got they had all sorts of delays over there in Omaha, but they're back on schedule here today, and we'll see if Tennessee, one of the favorites coming in, can take out Stanford for the last three innings.
Yeah, Stanford was up 4-0, and Tennessee has battled back.
6-4 now. Major League Baseball. Interesting happenings going on. The Cincinnati Reds, Mark, ever since they made the call-up, have been playing better baseball than anybody in the National League Central. And the Reds are going to get another piece back tonight as Joey Votto is going to be back in the lineup for the first time this year. The Reds now two games over 500. Yes, Cyclone Tim, your Reds are two games over 500 and a half a game behind Spencer's Milwaukee Brewers in the National League Central.
Yeah, Reds have won 8 in a row and gained 4 games on the Brewers this week alone. And the addition of Ellie De La Cruz and now Joey Votto tonight, just going to make that team much stronger and a whole lot of momentum going with that team right now.
The National League Central, the Pirates, have been not playing great baseball as of late. They're now two games under the 500 mark. Cubs had been playing very, very well. Did drop that game to Baltimore yesterday. Cubs go on the road now to take on the Pirates. And the Cardinals still mired in last and behind Washington in the second inning already today. 3-0 on the road. Suddenly, by the way, in the National League West, don't look now. And we're going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow. Got several questions for Cal, by the way. And if you have a question for Gal, get that ready to go tomorrow. Dodgers suddenly in third place in the National League West, interestingly enough.
Yeah, somehow, some way, the Giants seem to find a way, so to speak, each and every year. They're in second, 7 games back.
Very true. Very true. We'll talk baseball coming up tomorrow. Lance Lynn with 16 strikeouts, a career high yesterday, and still somehow lost for the White Sox. go figure that one out, America. Before we leave television talk, 3702 said they liked coverage of the U.S. Open. And the venue looked fantastic on TV. Venue did look fantastic on TV. I can't debate that. It's a very, very dramatic golf course that they were playing on over the weekend at LA Country Club. And another kind of fascinating part about it is that nobody had, until they got there, there were no practice rounds. It is that exclusive of a club. Did you see some of the parameters if you are invited to become a member of the Los Angeles Country Club, Mark?
I have no idea.
Well, first of all, I believe it's 250. It's a cool quarter mil if you'd like to join, first of all. And now they won't let anybody in because Hugh Hefner wanted to be in for many, many years, never let him in, even though his mansion was adjacent to the property off 13th green and the 14th tee. The handbook for the LA Country Club is 1,000 pages long, and you must read it and sign off on it. No phones, no pictures. There's a bank of phones. That is the only place that you can make a phone call on the property at the Los Angeles Country Club. That doesn't sound like fun.
No, and I got to believe many of these members are social members and play very little golf.
Didn't seem to be a lot of divots out on the course when they arrived on Monday.
No.
Did not seem to be. Not that they're asking you and I to be a member, you know, of the LA Country Club, you know, now or in the future, but I thought it was just very interesting. Some of the things that if you are indeed asked to become a member, what you have to do to play there. I don't know. To me, it's a little bit too much. If I had the wherewithal, if I had an extra quarter of a mil laying around, I would think twice about it. Great golf course, but yeah, I don't know. $8 billion, by the way, is the estimated value of the land. $8 billion with a B for that piece of property bordering Beverly Hills.
This is a segment is called 25 Facts with Scott Yenak.
About the LA Country Club. Hey, I was all taking it in over the last four days. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Talked a little bit about the baseball and the Cincinnati Reds in action tonight, only a half game out. Your Twins, Mark, are the only team at 500. They're not even over 500. They are at 500 right now in the good old American League Central. Please keep up at least at the 500 mark and keep the keep that Central Division flag flying high for everybody, right?
Hope so. Take on Boston tonight. And Boston's playing pretty darn well, so we'll see.
White Sox just go from the Dodgers, and now they get the Rangers. Fantastic. Nothing better than that. Rangers playing really good baseball. So are the Angels, by the way. Four teams over 500 in the American League West at this point. And then you have Oakland, a mere 26.5 games out right now. A mere 26.5 games out. We talked about the fact we were going to have the NBA draft coming up on Thursday night, 6 o'clock on all of our frequencies. Everybody has a mock draft out there. Really neat piece that Mike Colas had in the Gazette yesterday. If you did not get a chance to read it or see it online, go back and do yourself a favor and look it over. Talking about Chris Murray, even some about Keegan Murray and the teammates that they had when they were going through the basketball program at Cedar Rapids Prairie. Really star-studded team. I mean, you don't see a high school team very often to have, you know, 5, 6, 7 players that go on to play college athletics. And that's exactly what that particular class at Prairie had, including Gabe Burkle, who's playing tight end at Iowa State, of course, in football.
Yeah, a lot of really good all-around athletes as well.
Smith Dreyhaus was a really good guard, by the way. Went up to play at Wartburg for Coach Paith up there. Was the MVP for the Knights. And some really good information in there. Very good article that that Mr. Hloss had yesterday. 3:51. Let's take a break, come back, and as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity here to pick up some John Deere Classic tickets. And looking forward to the John Deere Classic. That'll be coming up at the TPC Deer Run in Silvis, Illinois, and that is going to be on Thursday, July 6th through Sunday, July the 9th. Always a good field over there. JT Poston is the defending champion. Zach will be over there. If you're so inclined for the Pro-Am, keep in mind on that Wednesday, Caitlin Clark and Zach Johnson are going to be paired up there. So we're going to take caller number 6 for tickets at 319-366-1600. Give us a call right now. If you've been a winner over the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible. 319-366-1600 is the number. And Andrew's going to get the information from our winner. And we'll let you know who that is when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Updating your heating and cooling system sounds great, but dealing with general contractors, utilities, and building departments, plus filling out all the paperwork, doesn't. Well, hold on, because E&J Geothermal will take care of everything, from the initial consultation to checking with all the right people, installing an energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal unit, and helping you file for the new increased tax credits and rebates for residential and commercial properties. You worry about nothing. E&J Geothermal's got it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make 5 picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
What's up? It's a Target trend alert. New swim has just arrived and it's sunny weather approved.
If you're into bikinis or one pieces, high waists or cutouts, they're the perfect combo of trendy, flattering, and affordable.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And there are so many cool styles with gorgeous details. These suits have macrame, crochet, wood beads, pretty shells, and more. Totally a luxe for less vibe.
Yes, yeah, so dive in and shop this Target trend without the spend.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Win the battle against rust and corrosion with PB Blaster at O'Reilly Auto Parts. PB Blaster quickly busts loose rusted, corroded, or frozen parts. PB Blaster is great for everything from bolts to frozen locks. Right now, pick up an 11-ounce bottle of PB Blaster for just $6.99, plus get 2x O-Rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Back with you, and we have a winner to congratulate. Jerry is our first winner of the John Deere Classic tickets, and he'll be over there in Silvis on the 6th through the 9th of July, enjoying everything that they have at the John Deere Classic. When was the last time you were at the JDC, Mark? Mark? There we go. Hey, when was the last time you were at the John Deere Classic, Mark?
Probably 10 years ago.
Okay. They got great, not only great golf, but they got great food over there. Great food. A lot of things on a stick over there. And they got great ice cream. Great ice cream over there. So congratulations to Jerry. He is our first winner. We'll have your chance to win coming up later on throughout the week between 3 and 4 with the Gym Class right here on KGYM. As I mentioned, the College World Series going on right now. It is in the 8th inning, and Tennessee still with a 6-4 lead over Stanford in an elimination game. They'll have another game coming up here this evening. And we say goodbye to Bob Huggins. Not the way Bob Huggins wanted to go out, Mark, but you get so many strikes and you really have no choice He's going to go down on the court as one of the great college basketball coaches of all time, but just too many off-the-court problems for Huggy. And now what's going to happen with West Virginia? They've got 8 players reportedly already that are going to go into the transfer portal.
Yeah, troubling situation for Bob Huggins over the weekend as he was arrested for his second DWI. And I mean, the guy didn't know where he was, couldn't answer questions, and was left nothing more to do than resign and retire. A really star-crossed career, kind of in a different way, remind you of Bob Knight, one of the, you know, all-time great coaches, wins-wise. Huggins, I think, ranks 6th all-time in wins. Only reached 1 Final Four, though.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's tough. We'll see. West Virginia could be in some trouble going to a Big 12 that's going to be amazing next year. It's been amazing in the past, but really going to be amazing coming up next year. Cal Eldred will join us on the program coming up tomorrow. We'll talk Major League Baseball. We'll talk college baseball with Cal. Talk to you then, Mark.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to The Gym Class, KGYM.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue. Of course. It's incredibly strong.